Okay. Hey, how's it going, babes?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm really psyched that we are doing our first remote podcast.
I mean, so am I. It's going to open up so many doors for
Yeah.
interviews, talent, doctors, you name it. We can go worldwide.
We can go worldwide. And wouldn't it be great if we could get somebody like from the ISS one day that's the space station? Okay. Anyway, I'm getting nuts over here. But if for everybody's listening, thank you again, always. We love you. Thank you for listening. If you're noticing that the sound isn't the same as it normally is, just bear with us. We're getting the hang of this.
And it will be perfect before you know it.
It totally will. You know, practice makes perfect.
It does.
Just like when you do makeup or hair or anything else.
Yeah. Should I talk about the pocket curl right now?
What's the pocket girl?
Oh, the time I burned a curl completely off a girl's head and stuck it in my pocket and didn't tell her.
No, did you really?
Yeah, I wrapped it around the curling iron. I jumped on to help one girl at like it was wedding season. And I jumped on, the iron was way too hot, her hair was way too overprocessed and thin. The curl came off with the
Oh
curling iron.
my goodness, no,
I stuck
really?
it right in my pocket. She never knew.
Well, listen, whatever she doesn't know, don't won't hurt her. And as long as it wasn't me, I'm cool with it. Great story. On that note, hey everyone, I'm Amber.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is Art Beauty, the real truth.
About the fake shit and no more pocket curls.
And you know what? I mean, that's just, you shouldn't process your hair that much.
I should have looked at the heat on the iron.
Oh, well,
I
okay. Oops.
always do now.
I love, listen, you know what? Coming clean 10 years later, it's all good.
It's a form of like a memoir, but in a podcast.
Dear diary, here's what I did today. All right, well, true confessions. So, because we're going into the winter, and you know, like all of the moisture that you put on your skin, it can only go so far. And especially if you're doing retinols, which I've started to doing, everything's peeling, everything's dry. And I spent all last week doing deep research and deep dives of humidifiers. Because
Smart.
I swear by them, but there's so many different kinds. And the ultrasonic ones, if you're not using distilled water, which the weight that I'm running through these things can get to be pricey, you just really need to. I don't know. I went back to an old faithful. Here's the box. You're ready to laugh because it just
I
came
love
today.
that.
Giant. It's the Honeywell Ultraviolet Germ-Free Cool Moisture Humidifier. And I'm going to give you the model number because. That was the only way I could find it. It is the, and of course, it's not on the box. Let me tell you, this thing is backlogged on Amazon for like another 2 months because it's so good. It does use a filter, which some people like, some people don't. I just replaced them. They go for about $9. It's cool moisture. You can clean this one, which is a big deal. And I got it on Target. I think it was about $70. But this is going to save my skin.
It's
What
gonna
you
save
got?
your skin. It's gonna save
Your
your
nose.
nose,
Yeah, you wake up
all
and
the
your
things.
mouth is like, you know, people also wake up and they say that they have, when they don't use a humidifier, some people wake up with bad breath because I guess you're
Yeah.
breathing. I don't personally think I've ever had that problem, or maybe it's just wake up with bad breath anyway, but
Your confessions of the day.
true
And
confessions. Well, does anybody wake up with good breath,
I
really?
don't know.
No,
No,
no.
no way, Jose. You know
But it could be
what?
like even worse breath if you don't.
Next topic of podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good one. That's a
Oh.
really good one. Okay. What do
Okay.
you have?
All right. I'm going balls to the wall left. Still joining you with moisture and the season. Augustine Bader, the Rich Cream. Ooh, the glare. Sorry.
Cute.
Neiman Marcus, Burger
Oh.
of Goodman. 300 plus, not gonna lie, totally bought it. Second time I've bought it.
So it's worked. It's worked before.
It is a PPC cellular renewal rich cream. It uses your own, it activates your own stem cell. That being said, I have used other products with other stem cells in it, which we don't really know what those stem cells are and what they come from. It's an entire other topic of podcast as well. I didn't care what it was, because I saw my face turn back the hands of time. I saw it turn back the hands of time on my face in a matter of 10 minutes, and I was like, oh, stem cells are great.
So this is a moisturizer or serum?
It's a moisturizer. It's called the Rich Cream. I only use it at night.
I love that it's called the Rich Cream for rich people.
It's very rich. It's very thick. But it's it. I sucked in because Melanie Griffith.
Uh huh.
I follow her kookiness on Instagram.
Uh huh.
She reminds me of my mom.
Oh.
And I love all of her movies. She never backs anything, and she backed this.
Really?
And yes. And there's another celebrity female who also is, I think, part owner of the company. And I'm sorry, but she's another one, like, doesn't put her name on anything. But this, I was like, oh, I'll try it. And it's a beautiful, beautiful renewing cream.
Okay.
It's so rich that it is my winter nighttime favorite.
Oh, nice. Okay. So, but $300, so that's a pretty penny. How long does it last?
I want to say, you know, it's like truly one pump does your entire face.
Okay.
And I want to say 6 months I got out of it because I only use it at night.
Oh my goodness. Well then, okay. So that's really, if you think about it, that's not so bad.
It is an upfront investment though, for sure.
It is. But do you think that, like, if you go into Neiman Marcus, they'll give you a sample?
They will give you a sample. They absolutely do. I originally bought it through the company from Germany. They send me samples. And Neiman Marcus and Bergdorf Goodman are huge on customer service. So if you want to try, they will give you.
Can we give them a little bit of a shout out right now? Because I finally caved and signed up for the Neiman Marcus credit card.
Yes.
And I was buying myself... my 40th birthday present to myself from myself was a pair of Valentino boots. And by doing that, they have this in-circle point system, which I know you know about. And
I do.
Remember when you gave me my birthday gift and I was so blown away by the gift wrapping?
Yes.
Well, I am now in the circle. I think it's like tier 3 that you get the free gift wrapping with everything. And that right there is worth everything.
It's beautiful.
And their customer service is great. So I've been ordering stuff, especially now going into the holiday season. Like, yeah. I've been ordering stuff, and sometimes what I'll do is I'll order. So there's this one scarf that I thought I wanted to give somebody. So I ordered one wrapped and one unwrapped just in case, knowing that I would return one. Cause again, it's also free returns. And yeah, I didn't like either of them. So I sent them both back, but
smart.
And an interesting way to shop. I don't know if that sounds crazy, but
no, because you wanted to make sure it was right.
I wanted to make sure it was right. I wasn't going to the store, but I definitely wanted to make sure it was right. And if it was right, I was going to just take it and hand the gift. But since it wasn't, anyway, neither here nor there.
Love it.
So, okay. Today's topic of conversation, celebuity.
Celebuity.
Celeb lines, beauty lines. And, you know, we know about Rihanna. We know about Lady Gaga's new line,
yes,
which is really, really awesome that we're going to talk about. The guest today, Dorian Block, she's the founder of Poshly. And I want you guys to stay through to the end of this. So first, we're going to start off by talking about celebrity beauty lines. And she's going to give us, you know, the ins, the outs, what she thinks, which one she likes, which one she doesn't. But then at the end of this, she gives us some facts on lipstick. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you may never, ever, ever try on a lipstick in a store again. That's all I'm going to say.
Ever.
All right. So Doreen Block from Poshly, and in case you're wondering what Poshly is, I'm going to let her tell you.
I founded Poshly in 2011. It is a website where consumers can join and get access to free beauty products. And the catch is that you have to answer questions about yourself. So basically, it's a personalization meets free samples meets research platform where we're connecting consumers who love beauty with brands who are creating those beauty products. I'm happy to go into more detail, but that's the high level. Join Poshly if you want free beauty products.
Once I sign up, when do samples... getting tongue-tied. I love free stuff. When do samples start coming? How does that work?
So it's completely personalized. So basically there's over 10,000 questions in the system, everything from asking about your hair type, your skin tone, whether you're interested in purchasing a matte lipstick in the next 30 days. We ask you all of these questions so that when brands have samples that they're sending out through Poshly, we can send those to the right people every time. So for example, back in July, we sent out 25,000 lipsticks from Milani Cosmetics, Anjoa Cosmetics, Black Radiance, and others, but it was all targeted based on your color preference, the type of lipstick you like, and more.
So fun. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting about you is that you actually, in addition to working, in addition to founding Poshly, you are very knowledgeable about the beauty industry.
Yes, we are huge data nerds. And that's actually how this all started for me. I am a beauty lover just in terms of myself as a shopper, but I actually started my career in technology. So I saw Poshly as the perfect opportunity to marry my nerdy data love with all things beauty.
We love nerdy talk. Talk nerdy to me, babe. We wanted to bring you on today because we want to talk about celebrity lines. We know that this year there's been some big launches. Lady Gaga just came out with House Beauty. We know Fenty has been a proven success. I read that in the first 15 months, she sold over $600 million worth of product. That number is mind-blowing. Of course, Kylie Cosmetics is a big one. What is your take on all of these celebrity lines?
Yeah, it has been incredible to watch the rise of celebrity brands and this change that we've been seeing, I would say, over the past 3 years or so, where celebrities are taking a more direct approach with the product development. And that, in our view, has been all the difference. So as opposed to a brand simply slapping a new face onto a set of products that they've already developed, taking a celebrity and really having their point of view and their fan base's point of view in the product development, everything from the shade range to the naming of the products, is game-changing. So I expect that we're going to see this trend continue, especially given how much money there is in this. And consumers love it as well. And that's what this industry is all about, is delivering what consumers want.
I feel like Rihanna was really instrumental in really pushing that shade range in makeup lines. So that definitely is a big trend that came out of one of these celebrity brands. But do you believe that Kylie is in the lab mixing this stuff up? I don't know.
It's a good question. I don't know. But what we do know from the information that's out there is that in most of the cases, celebrities are leveraging third-party manufacturers and oftentimes full-service shops to create their lines. So of course, there's marketers and product developers and business development folks behind the scenes who are putting together a lot of the strategy and the product line cohesiveness. But that said, I expect that the celebrity, because they are positioning themselves as the owner of the brand, and especially with Kylie, who does own 100% of the brand, there is a much stronger level of involvement than, let's say, just being a spokesmodel for a brand. So I expect that they do have a hand in naming the shades and the products, deciding if certain products aren't going to make the final cut, as well as which products they definitely want to see in the lineup. So I think all of those things show us that there is this stronger trend towards celebrities being more involved.
Do you watch the Kardashians?
I don't regularly, but, you know, sometimes I get caught up on YouTube videos where, you know, 30 minutes will go by and I'm like, oh my gosh, there they are. I've been sucked into the vortex.
I recently watched a current episode and they have her in the office. There's a baby nursery in the office. They're talking about the parking spaces. They're picking colors. They're having collabs with their sisters, and their sisters are naming the colors too. Mm-hmm. And they are bringing the audience right into the business to just make them want to buy more.
I know that Jessica Alba did that with her Honest brand, which I've actually purchased some of the products. And she's been pretty, outgoing about some of like the trials and tribulations of not only being a celebrity and creating these products, but running a board and
To be taken seriously too. I mean, at the end of the day, celebrities, I'm sure they're smart people. At the end of the day, they're making a lot of money. They're running a business of their own personal brands as well. So why not leverage all of that know-how to create a company and a brand? I think it makes a lot of sense. And I definitely wouldn't underestimate them.
And now what about some of like the, I mean, I, when I did a deep dive on this, I had no idea that there's some very sort of, I don't want to say obscure, that's not the right word, but like Michelle Pfeiffer has a clean fragrance called Henry Rose. I know that Millie Bobby Brown just got a lot of flack. She's starting, and Ryan, I don't know
Florence
if you watched.
Florence by Mills.
Yes, Florence by Mills. But I guess her first social media post was just kind of this video of her like scrubbing her face and not really talking about the products. And
pretty cringy.
Was it? You know what? I couldn't find it. I need to go online and find it. You saw it. Was it terrible? Tell us about it.
Yeah. They took it down. It was really awkward. It was basically her almost pantomiming what a routine would look like instead of actually just doing the routine. And it's fascinating because Kylie also got in trouble for this very same thing where she was, quote, using her cleanser, but not actually. And then Millie Bobby Brown did pretty much the exact same thing. So it was
Was Kylie not using it because she didn't want to wipe her face off? Because let's be honest, exactly. I mean, she's beautiful, but there is a lot of makeup on her.
The set design was amazing on that bathroom. It was epic. Okay, I sold myself off the river. Yes, I watched that too. And there was an episode with Chloe and her drunk, trying to do their own face drunk.
That's fun.
It was so fun. They were like hammered at the end. It was amazing. So I don't know. Yes, it's funny.
Fun. Yeah.
That's the trend for a lot.
Now, Ryan, I know that you admittedly have really been into Goop lately. Have you tried anything from Goop Beauty?
Goop for Men is what I loved. I thought it was cool.
Yeah. Did you try any of the products yet?
You know what? It's funny. I already have a lot of them because of what we do. And I'm just a sucker for new stuff,
right.
Which is great. But I will definitely go through and support that that site. I love what they're doing for men. I love that they're kind of like taking the curtain down and making it. They're having like really beautiful articles written about on how to like get in touch with your feelings and talk to the female in your life. It's sweet. It's really sweet. I love what they're doing for men. It's epic.
Yeah, that combination of content and commerce is really game-changing. I also look to Goop a lot for the new products that I should try, and I don't try everything that they recommend, but they do have some really fun, interesting recommendations, and they're pushing the envelope for brands as well in terms of ingredient stories and the wellness trend and eco-friendly trend overall.
So, Doreen, are there any of these celebrity lines that you have tried? Are there products that you love? I'm always skeptical of anything that is just like, hi, I'm throwing my name on this. I don't know if people remembered Melania had like a product line ages ago.
No, I didn't know that.
Yes,
wow.
Yes. So what are some of the ones that you've tried and you like?
Yeah, so I love trying as much as I can. And so I definitely have tried Kylie Cosmetics, Kylie Skin, the new House Labs. You know, as soon as that was on Amazon, I think Amazon is such an interesting choice of channel that so many brands have been afraid of. And to see Gaga's line embracing that channel, I think is really cool. And I think they're going to do great business because of that. And then, of course, also Fenty Beauty, of course, amazing, amazing products. I think like with every brand, it's so personal, right? So for me, there's things that are hits and others are misses. I think, for example, it's so interesting with House Laboratories, the stick-on liner.
The face lace?
Yes.
Yes, which is awesome.
So awesome, but it's one of those products that I would only wear if I was going out to dinner in a dark place, because you can kind of tell that it's a sticker.
Or like Halloween. Yeah, I did them for Halloween one year. I got like the tattoos. Very, very cool. But you're right. I think hers are more of a sticker and not a tattoo. I don't know. In Ricky's last Halloween, I remember. Oh, is it felt?
It's like fabric or something. So,
and what's interesting about
tell the difference between the liner and the felt part or the fabric.
What's interesting about the face lace, I think that's what they're called, right? Let me just double check. Is that this was a company that already existed that her makeup artist, Lady Gaga's makeup artist, was using on her. And so now she's kind of embracing and pushing that. But do you think that that's
it as well? So that was an interesting choice. The liner itself is fantastic. And I think their eye shimmers are beautiful. I mean, you can definitely see that there's this this element of making artistry, this kind of really high concept avant-garde that Lady Gaga is so famous for, making that accessible and very generous to the everyday consumer. I didn't have to be very thorough about where I put the eye shimmer. It just looks gorgeous, even if it's just sort of sprinkled asymmetrically on your eyelids. So that I thought was really well done.
Oh, I want to look. And I love that you said that she's on Amazon. So one of our biggest, I won't say one of our biggest, but one of the things that Ryan and I have discussed before is that you have to really be careful with some of the brands that you order from on Amazon, because we've all gotten a product and you're like, this ain't it. And I think that more brands should embrace Amazon and should use that and should take a little bit more of an active policing of what's going on of their brands, right? Because if I get something that's, you know, fake Orbe or fake Kérastase, or I had ordered, this really happened, I ordered the Philips Sonicare toothbrush heads, definitely fake. And I know Amazon's trying to take more of this, but I also wrote to Philips and was like, hey, you should really be more involved in this. So I love that she's selling on Amazon, because, I mean, we love Amazon.
So fast in terms of the shipping when I want my makeup today, right? It's
from my experience, brands are starting. They're really starting. I know Orbe is starting, that they are not going to, they're going to really hone in and crack down and have their own. Viviscal is another one. They really, truly are starting. You can't sell it on Amazon. And I
speaking of which, did you bring me my Viviscal?
I did.
Yay!
I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And I think they're going to do like the blue check mark thing.
Oh.
Something along those lines.
For shopping. Is that for like
shopping,
the verified?
So it's like a guaranteed verified like brand, which is
absolutely
smart.
Yeah, it is smart.
So important.
All right. I don't want to put you on the spot, but are there any celebrity lines that you were like, maybe missed the mark?
There are definitely certain products. I mean, back to the Kylie line, I would love to talk about that a little bit more, because the Kylie products are so interesting. We've actually talked to consumers in our Poshly panel about Kylie and why they like Kylie. So we talked specifically to people who are super fans of the brand. And what they told us, which then when I tried the products, totally resonated with me, is they were like, you know what? Even though we're Kylie fans, we also were very skeptical of the brand. But we want a piece of her life. We want a piece of that aspirational attitude. And so we shelled out for a lip kit, and it was better than we thought. And that element of delight around, like, these are actually really good products, it's not just Kylie's name on it, made all the difference. And so I was really excited, to try. I mean, her lip kits are really good. I mean, she basically introduced lip liner to a whole new generation of people, which that the beauty industry should be very thankful to her for, I would say. When you look at the stats, I mean, lip liner has been in big decline, especially among Gen Z, millennial consumers. And then as soon as the lip kits happened, boom, you have these young consumers using lip liner again. So,
well, because do you remember like our lip liner was like, what was it, Rum Raisin with like the dark early J-Lo, the dark lips?
Yes, dark outer.
Was it Paula Abdul?
Chocolate brown, right?
Chocolate brown. Rum Raisin was like, I know maybe that was the, Rum Raisin was either the lipstick or the lip liner. I think it was L'Oreal, and everybody had it. It was the go-to, but it was that dark line with like a lighter inside that was just, oh yeah, I'm looking at her online. Wow, this is like, it's really subtle and beautiful. Mm-hmm. So with the lip kit, you get a lipstick and a lip liner.
Yes,
because she lined her lips for so many years before she had them done.
Yeah.
And then she got so much press on her lips and having them done. And then she just launched the lip kit like, screw you. And now she's laughing. all the way to
you
the back.
You know who else does that? J-Lo. J-Lo does like an a thicker line.
Lip too.
She can do no wrong.
No.
So
never.
Back to the Kylie. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Doreen.
No, it's okay. So I mean, basically, I too was impressed once I tried the products. Really wearable, moisturizing lip products, and because of that, it's the gateway drug into the brand. Mm-hmm. So then you start, you know, being interested to buy more and more from her. And so the skin products, I actually, let's talk about the walnut scrub debacle. You remember this?
You need to fill me in.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So basically Kylie's skincare line launched and so many people were in an uproar about the fact that she has a physical exfoliator scrub in her line as opposed to a chemical exfoliator. What was so fascinating about this to me, and I love physical exfoliator scrubs.
Me too.
Most people use physical exfoliators. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. So yeah. When you look at the data, it actually is really smart that she launched a scrub as opposed to a chemical exfoliator. And that to me, I think she just got really unfair negative press about that.
Can I, and as a beauty expert, so I used to work with Murad, and one of the things that their educator taught me was that physical scrubs are okay, but like the old school ones, like made of walnut or that apricot scrub that we all had, they can cause micro tears. Yeah. Oh, I know. There you called it out. That they can cause micro tears in the skin. So if you're going to use a physical exfoliator, you want something with like a jojoba bead, which is more of a round, you're softer, still going to get that gritty exfoliating texture, but without ripping your skin. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, that's exactly the debate that ensued. I mean, having tried it, it's very gentle.
Right.
So I think the back and forth on this was that even if you are using a walnut ingredient, if you grind it really, really, really fine, it's probably okay, but maybe the jury is still out.
Sure.
My issue with that product was the scent, because it's sort of an umami walnut type scent that doesn't make me super excited to use
it. Umami?
Yeah, that's how I would describe it. It was kind of meh, like not super delightful to me personally.
Fair.
So
yeah.
if people, interesting that you're bringing this up now, because I just had a guest stay with me who has a nut allergy. I guess people with nut allergies then would have to be cautious about using that product. Ryan, you're shaking your head.
Yes.
I don't know. No,
I would think. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I wonder if they need to be cautious of using everything in the line. Like, is it all coming from the same factory?
Yeah, maybe contaminated. Possibly. That's true.
Very, very good call.
I don't know. We'll have to
look
into that.
I didn't hear that part in the – I don't think anybody brought that up, not from what I saw. But that's a very good point.
We are breaking news. We're stirring up shit here on the Our Beauty Podcast.
The number one beauty product in any recession, and there's been quite a few, is lipstick.
Yes.
Right? So no matter what, if you can't pay your bills or you're down and out, most women went and bought their favorite designer lipstick. So it's an old marketing thing. So for her to come out with lips and then introduce it to the new generation who babysit, maybe walk dogs or like have little part-time jobs, it's so brilliant. It's it's like the original. Like bust through any economy, anyone will feel great using it. It's very smart.
And you know what? I want to kind of end on this because Doreen, you are an expert, and I know you sent me a ton of lipstick facts. And Ryan and I were talking about this. I love that you just called it the gateway drug because I remember like Chanel lipstick. Buying my first Chanel lipstick was such a big deal because it was the only thing I could afford that was Chanel. And still to this day, when you pull out a Chanel lipstick, it's like, it's the best. It's the best. I mean, it's just the best feeling. Mm-hmm. So, okay, you have some really fun like lipstick facts, right? So I don't know if I'm putting you on the spot, let me know. But I think one of the things that you had asked people was, if stuck on a deserted island, what's the one lipstick brand you must have?
MAC.
Yes.
That's the one people say.
Look, I don't have their lipstick. Really? MAC lipstick?
I gave you one, but it didn't work.
It was too matched my skin. It made me look dead, but.
Yeah.
But they have so many. You just have to try another one.
Yeah. Oh, no. I know. I've used MAC lipstick forever.
Yeah. So that's the number one brand that people want to never live without. So Mac number one. Revlon and NARS are in the second and third spot.
Oh, wow.
I believe that. Yeah, I mean,
Revlon. You know, I always say too, those mass market, yeah, and those mass market brands, they have so much money to put into R&D that their products, they hold up, they stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you're going to do a trendy color, like you only want to spend, what is it now, like $11 on it? Like, I don't want to spend $50 on something that I'm never going to wear again.
How, what's the shelf life of an average lipstick?
Ooh, I have to look that up just so I don't misstate. Oh, 2 years, they say.
That's what I think.
2 years, according to 17 Magazine, 2 years for lipstick, 1 year for gloss. But toss it if lipstick has become extra dry or if your gloss is extra sticky. Yeah. Oh, yeah, if it starts to smell.
If it starts to smell.
Okay, just, I'm sorry, why does it smell?
Like bacteria, what makes, of course.
Bacteria. Yeah.
I mean, you're putting it on your lips, of course.
And speaking of bacteria, Ryan, you're about to just vomit in your mouth because I got this. Doreen, you sent me these fun facts. When you were doing these Poshly research, you found that 74% of people sanitize their lipstick before testing it in the store, which means that 26% don't.
Oh, I'm really glad I'm a boy today.
You're a boy who wears lipstick, though.
Yeah, I guess. But, like, I just buy what they wear. I don't.
I know, right? So, sanitize, everybody folks out there, sanitize. Or,
pores,
I mean, I guess.
Gross.
Do it on your hand.
Yep. Swatch.
Swatch that. Ugh, gross. Let's see. What were some of these other fun facts about lipstick? 42% want to use mood lipstick or mood lip gloss, but only 22% currently do. It's like the color changing.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Now this, what's interesting about this mood changing lip stuff is that it actually has a really long history. If you look back at the 50s, there was Tangie. Color changing, I guess it was based on your pH levels, it would sort of shift color. So it's interesting that to me it feels like a very 90s thing, but it actually has a long history. And now I think people are very into it because there's this huge trend around astrology and gemstones and all of these kind of mystical ingredients or marketing messages in beauty today. And so to me, color changing lipstick is sort of under that bucket of these mythical, magical kind of shape shifting products.
Oh, okay.
That is a fun one. I agree.
It is a really, really fun one. What else do we have here? 33% have ever depotted a broken lipstick. Nope, too much work. Throw it out. Have you ever done that, Ryan?
I did it for my mom once because there was a company around the corner from where I lived in Manhattan. It was called Three Custom Colors. And they discontinued one of her favorite colors and I went there and they made it for me. And it was so fun. And the guys who ran that were so, I don't know if it's still open, but they were so cool. And they did that for my mom. And I like got her 10 for Christmas or 12, whatever I did.
I'm taking that back. So I've done that on like discontinued stuff. Yeah. You use that like every last freaking drop.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
I love this stat around mixing lipstick shades. Okay. 77% like to mix lipstick shades. I just think that's so fun. I mean, it speaks to the fact that even though there's all of these lipstick colors, there's still that feeling that consumers want to invent their own and have that artistry and be part of the creative process of what they wear on a given day.
Do you wear lipstick?
Oh, what was that?
Do you wear lipstick?
I do, but not for daily use. I'm more of a balm tint person for daily.
Me too. Ryan teases me. Yeah, I bite my lips and I feel like it never, I wish I could be one of those people who wear like a red lip or like a poppin' lip, but I find that even with the ones that claim to stay put, I'll like pass myself in the mirror at 11 and it's like,
why is it on my tooth? That's my issue.
Or just like, it's like off.
Yeah. So usually, I'll wear lipstick for going out or for a special occasion. But for daily, I'm all about balms and tints, also because there's the baby factor that I have a young baby at home. And so when I'm kissing him on the cheek, I don't want there to be transfer.
Congrats on your new baby.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for taking the time to do this with us today. If people want to know more about, so obviously we can find out about Poshly at poshly.com. Mm-hmm. And if people want to know, you said there's some new exciting things coming up that you're working on. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes, I hope and think you guys will freak about this. I am working with a big group of people, and we invite you to be part of this, to launch the world's first ever makeup museum in Manhattan.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
We're in.
Yes. In. Right? Done. So fun.
So necessary.
How does this not exist? There's a museum for ice cream, for pizza, for rosé. Makeup has a 10,000 year history.
It's, wow. And it's like an $8 gazillion industry.
Yeah, exactly. How is there no museum dedicated to the history of our amazing industry?
Wow.
So we're making it happen.
Good. How are you making that happen? How can people get involved?
So as I mentioned, I mean, it's a big, awesome network of people that are bringing this to life. We have, for example, Gabriela Hernandez is one of our advisors. She's the owner of Besame Cosmetics. She's a makeup historian. She advises Hollywood around period makeup. So she's absolutely amazing. We have Rachel Goodwin, celebrity makeup artist, to Emma Stone, January Jones, all of those amazing actresses involved in this. We have former L'Oreal'ers, Revlon'ers, et cetera, being part of this. So it really is taking on a life of its own. Very excited about that. And so people can get involved in all sorts of ways. From, we're launching a Kickstarter campaign in possibly end of October, maybe it might slip over to November, so they can be a backer for the Kickstarter campaign. For people out there who have artifacts, especially from the 1950s, 1960s, hit us up. We would love to potentially display those in the museum. And then, of course, for brands, that brand professionals that may be listening, there's amazing engagement opportunities to get involved as a brand too. So lots going on.
And how can they find you, and how do people get involved?
Makeupmuseum.com.
Makeupmuseum.com. Awesome.
You are a smart cookie, ma'am.
I'm so excited about it. Thank you. Yes, and it really is so much bigger than myself, Poshly, the day-to-day. It really feels like we're building a legacy and an institution for this industry. I mean, again, I can't believe this doesn't exist. It's so wild. So,
you know, that's all the great things,
right?
I'd love
for you to be part of it, too.
Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us today. And, of course, if you have any questions that you want us to reach out to Dorian about, you can always hit us up, hello@artbeautypodcast.com. You can find us on Instagram, on Facebook, at Art Beauty Podcast. And, Ryan, what do we have to say?
We'll just see you next Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.